This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. We begin this hour with the migrant crisis in Europe that continues to escalate. Just today, dozens of migrants being smuggled across Europe were found dead in an abandoned truck on a highway east of Vienna. Meanwhile, thousands of migrants continue to pour into Greece and Serbia, hoping to enter Hungary before officials complete a 108-mile border fence, a wall designed to keep such migrants out. Oday, a Syrian refugee from Dara, managed to sneak in through the security fence just in time.
We are very hungry. There is no food. There is no milk for children. There is nothing. Okay? We are so tired.
Hungarian officials say the country is overwhelmed by migrants, and they're racing to finish the fence by the end of the month. It's a familiar scenario, especially to those of us keeping track of the 2016 elections here at home.
To have a country, you have to have a strong border. You have to have a really strong border. I will build the wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it, and they'll be happy to pay for it.
That's fine, but do border fences work? The one in Hungary didn't keep Oday out, and there are many more like him, determined to flee war and instability in their home countries. The same can be said for many migrants to the United States coming from Central America or Mexico. Or we can look back at the success of walls and fences throughout history. You're already thinking of them. The Berlin Wall, intended to keep East Germans in. The Great Wall of China, built to prevent invasions of nomadic groups crossing the Eurasian steppe. How about Wall Street in New York? Yeah, it used to be a real wall. Elizabeth Vallée is author of Borders, Fences, and Walls, State of Insecurity, and professor at the University of Quebec at Montreal. I ask her, do these walls ever really work?
If you try to prevent people from coming in, if you're trying to achieve a security, a sovereignty, aim, no, they do not work. They do not prevent people from coming in. They do not prevent terrorists to come in, or even drug trafficking or what have you. So, no, they do not work. But if you consider border walls, border fences, as a public relation operation led by a government which is trying to show his population that he's trying to do something, then they do work. They work as a symbol of a political goal, which is to show that you are secure within your territory.
So what do you think then, Madam Vallée, when you see, for instance, the Republican presidential primary with Donald Trump and other candidates pledging to build a wall along the Mexican border? A very expensive billboard, I guess.
It is very expensive. You know, a wall can cost from $1 million to $10 million per kilometer, which is a very high cost for just the construction. And then if we speak about the maintenance of a wall, the border offices in the U.S. have stated that it could be in terms of billions of dollars in the coming years. So it is very expensive, and it won't prevent anybody from coming in. The thing that it's going to do, it's going to affect the economy of the borderlands on both sides of the border, and it will lead the entire business of crossing the border underground. Hence, migrants do not go in the U.S., let's say, for a season of crops or what have you, and then go back home. Once you've crossed the wall, it's so expensive. It's the price of a business class. So it's so expensive to cross the border through the wall that you will be staying on the other side. So you achieve actually the opposite of what you were looking for.
There are also concerns about terrorism. The U.S. has thought about building a wall along our border with Canada because of concerns that terrorists could come through Canada to the United States. Is that a practical concern? What would it mean to have some selective fencing to keep out a terrorist who wanted to access the United States through Canada?
I don't think that could work. And if you look at, you know, what's going on in Syria, young people going from the U.S., from Canada, from Europe to Syria, they manage their way through very hard and secure borders that are being surveyed, as looked at and policed, because we fear those people going and coming back, and we can't prevent them to go through. So I think the problem with border fences and border walls is that we are not addressing the real issue. When we look at migrants, let's say those that are coming through Hungary and Serbia as we speak, the reason why they're coming is not that they want to benefit from the generosity of the North. It's really a matter of security in their own country. If you, you know, if you, you take the chance to take your kids with you, cross the Libyan border, cross the Mediterranean Sea, end up in a country you do not know and gassed up, let's say, on the Hungarian border and still want to stay, and you're telling people, I'm not going back, it's really that what you're leaving behind you is so bad that you're desperate. So I think that when we erect fences, whether for terrorism purposes or migration purposes, we don't look at the real problem, and we do put a lot of money in something that is only a symbol, not the real treatment of the real problem.
Well, the Israeli government has very real terrorism concerns, and they say, officials there say, that their wall between Israel and parts of the West Bank has worked. They say it's worked to keep out terrorist elements. What evidence do you have that it hasn't worked?
I will quote one of my colleagues, David Newman, who is an Israeli scholar, a border scholar, actually, at the University of Ben Gurion in the Negev, who really explained in a very good study that the decrease in terrorist attacks following the building of the wall was actually not related to the wall itself, but to an agreement between Hamas and Fatah and to the pacification of the Palestinians among themselves, which led, you know, to the possibility to discuss with Israel and hence to a pacification of the region. So we cannot see a direct link between the building of the wall and the decrease of terrorist attacks.
Madame Vallée, let's take a moment and go back through the history of walls, because that history is long. We could talk about Hadrian's Wall in Britain. We could talk about the Great Wall of China, of course. Were they successful, or have walls always been kind of a fantasy for those who build them?
Regarding the Great Wall of China, by the time it was being completed, the barbarians were not there anymore. So it didn't serve any purpose anymore. If we speak about the Roman walls, there were some like the Adrian, the Antonine walls in Scotland. And those were designed to channel people in certain places to be able to control the flows. But the border was still seen as an open space or an interface in between two countries, places where you would cross, maybe in designated areas, but you would cross nonetheless. So really, walls were built at that time just to control what was going on, to see what was going on at any time, but not to keep people in, like the Berlin Wall did, or to keep people out.
So what did it mean for those in East Germany and the rest of the world when the Berlin Wall came down?
The Berlin Wall was a significant symbol, and when it fell, indeed, it changed really the face of the world. And with it, we opened a new era of international relations, very much like a hippie type of era where we were talking about peace, you know, and the world without borders. I think that's really what it meant. And then 10 years later, it was over, and the border snapped back due to 9/11. So really, it was kind of an interlude. And still then, when the Berlin Wall fell, we still had a dozen of walls erected and still up during that time. So really, it was more of a symbol than something more significant from an international relations point of view.
Let's say the U.S. does build a wall along our long border with Mexico. What will the statement be to the rest of the world if we build that wall? What will we be saying?
There is indeed a great wall of civilization, something that divides the world between North and South. And if you look at the walls nowadays, you'll see that the GDP of the countries that build walls is much, much higher than the one that are on the other side of the walls. So it's really showing to the rest of the world that the U.S. is not maybe willing to play the role, not that it wants to play, but that it has to play, because the U.S. are still a superpower within a world that is, you know, having difficulties going through what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on in Europe.
Professor Vallée, is it trite? Is it laughable in a way to think of the idea of physical walls in a world that's interconnected through technology and globalized in the way our world is now? Is it almost a joke?
It is a joke, but it is also the backlash of exactly that. People feel they suffer from globalization, from those flows that they cannot control. Hence, border fences and border walls do mean, you know, the return of the state, of the sovereignty, of a certain type of identity. So in a way, yes, it is laughable. In another way, there is something we need to address very quickly, as big issues like climate change will step in. We need to get out of that before we address those issues.
Elizabeth Vallée is author of Borders, Fences, and Walls, State of Insecurity. She's also a professor at the University of Quebec at Montreal. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.